The Polynesian Paralysis Podcast, Episode 16. Welcome back to the Polynesian Paralysis Podcast. I'm Jim Gaston, your host. In the last episode of the Polynesian Paralysis Podcast, we looked at an article from the 1973 issue of Oceans Magazine. The article, written by Fred Hochter about the Mexican city Mazatlan, compared Polynesian paralysis in the South Pacific to the Mexican experience of Mañana. Today we travel further east to the mountains of North Carolina and review a book titled Little Things That Keep Families Together by Arlene Kate Thrash, published in 1976. Arlene Kate Thrash was a wife, mother, author, and professor. Her family lived in Cullowhee, North Carolina, close to Asheville, where she was an assistant professor of learning disabilities. She completed her PhD residency in London, England. Her book is about the little things in life. She believed that it's the little things that keep families together, not the big things that get most of our attention. She firmly believed, and it's reflected in her book, that the little things in life are important and unfortunately often get taken for granted. The book, Little Things That Keep Families Together, is divided into three sections. Part one is titled Meditations About Home. The book begins with short stories, usually only one or two pages each, about how the author met her husband while working at a summer church camp in western North Carolina. After a summer of friendship, they began dating, and 17 months later, they would be married. The book continues using these short stories or anecdotes to describe her life as a young Christian woman, wife, and mother. She would soon find herself raising four small children and making do with limited resources while dealing with daily life challenges. Over the course of 10 years, her family would live in four states in nine different apartments or houses. On page 14, she describes her general outlook on life as follows. Happiness is found not in houses large and small, it is carried within. The author tells of the many challenges involved with raising a family on a limited budget. She also describes their house as a gathering place for young and old alike, and the many wonderful shared meals with friends from around the world. On page 56 begins part two of her book titled My Larger Family, and it's in this section that we find the mention of Polynesian paralysis. After spending a decade raising four children and taking care of the house, the author looks at the next stage of her life and longs to return to graduate school and study special education, which is the practice of educating students in a way that accommodates their individual differences, disabilities, and special needs. The author has some practical suggestions for anyone brave enough to make a career change, aiming for a challenging personal goal or otherwise jumping into the deep or making a leap of faith into the unknown. Number one, be focused. Set clear goals and make these goals your priority. Try to do one thing well instead of dabbling in 40 different things. Number two, be kind to yourself. Ask for help from friends and family. Toss out excess baggage and trivialities. Number three, remember that self-development takes discipline and dedication. Never mind what others think. Ignore others' expectations of you. Forgo impossible standards maintained for the sole approval of friends, neighbors, and relatives. This only saps your energy and fragments your mind. In short, be true to yourself with not a tinge of guilt or self-reproach. This was the mind of a middle-aged woman, wife, and mother who decided to return to graduate school and follow her dreams. The author describes how she would get up early before dawn, not to cook, but to study Strauss syndrome or statistics for her graduate classes. Her husband accused her of studying in her sleep. The author states, "I had no time to eat the bread of idleness, although I longed to sink into Polynesian paralysis." She describes how she once set her class notes on fire while cooking and studying for the final exam. Was it a difficult and challenging time for her and her family? She states, "You bet. It demanded patience and a great sense of humor on the part of my lively family. Of me, it demanded self-confidence, commitment, consistency, and the ability to laugh to and at myself. But the exciting renaissance, the élan vital, is worth every sacrifice of honoring your dreams on which there is no ceiling. The élan vital that she refers to is a French term meaning vital force or impulse of life that causes life to evolve and adapt. It is unclear from the book if the author ever visited Hawaii, the South Pacific, the Caribbean, or if she actually experienced Polynesian paralysis herself. In the third section of her book, titled Emptying the Nest, the author goes on to describe her family as the kids became teenagers, became more independent, and would leave home on their own adventures. Throughout the book, the author describes both the good times and the hardships that almost everyone encounters in life. It's easy to observe others and think that they have the perfect life or get all the good luck, but everyone faces challenges. The hard times we face or the mistakes we make in life can make us stronger and give us a unique opportunity to learn. This reminds me of the story of the Chinese farmer who had a horse. One day, the horse ran away. The people of the village said, "Oh, that's bad news. You don't have a horse." The farmer replied, "Good news, bad news, who can say?" The following week, the horse returns with another horse. The people in the village said, "Oh, that's great news. Now you have two horses." The farmer replied, "Good news, bad news, who can say?" The farmer then gave his son the other horse. But the boy falls off and breaks his leg. The people in the village said, "Oh, that's bad news. Your son broke his leg." The farmer replied, "Good news, bad news, who can say?" The next week, a war is started, and all the young men in the village are enlisted to fight in the war. However, the farmer's son cannot fight because of his broken leg. The people in the village say, "Oh, that's good news. Your son does not have to fight in the war." The farmer replies, "Good news, bad news, who can say?" This story, told over 2,000 years ago, is still being told today. Can you think of something that happened to you and at the time you felt was terrible news or a hardship, but later, looking back, it was actually a good thing that happened, or something good resulted from the bad event? Good news, bad news. Who can say? The book we looked at today, The Little Things That Keep Families Together, by Arlene Kate Thrash, published in 1976, reminds us that life is challenging, and it's often the little things. Time with friends and family, being kind to yourself and others, facing hardships with determination and a sense of humor that give meaning to our lives. Spending too much time dreaming of a bigger house, a new car, exotic vacations, or more money can take away from enjoying the little things in life. Spending too much time racing towards the future goal without enjoying the journey can leave you empty and burned out once you reach your goal. Spending too much time comparing yourself to others or trying to live your life to please others can rob you of your self-confidence and self-esteem. Polynesian paralysis is one way to create a healthy work-life balance where you can work toward your goals and follow your dreams while at the same time enjoying the little things in life. In the next episode of the Polynesian Paralysis Podcast, we look at an article in the July 1976 issue of Pickup Van and Four-Wheel Drive magazine. We'll discover how a trip to Hawaii to ride off-road and live off the land on the Big Island can lead to Polynesian paralysis. Until then, please take a few minutes each day to be still, relax, appreciate nature, and enjoy Polynesian paralysis. Polynesian paralysis, the sensible approach to mindfulness.